You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com.
Welcome to the November 26th KoopaCast. I'm joined here by a small crew because it's Thanksgiving. A lot of people are traveling or doing other things or hanging with family. But these fine gentlemen were kind enough to join me. Well, Thomas, he didn't celebrate Thanksgiving because he doesn't believe in it. But we'll start with Thomas. He can introduce himself and say why he doesn't believe in Thanksgiving.
Yeah, hello, I'm Tom. I'm English, so that's the main reason. The wife's American, but she's a vegetarian, so she doesn't buy the whole turkey thing. So, yeah, no Thanksgiving this year. Maybe in the future.
All right, I guess I'll go next. I'm Jay Money. I do a little bit for the magazine and the website, and I guess that's about it.
My name's Eli, and I'm a vegetarian and not a big fan of Thanksgiving either, but I celebrate it with my family anyway.
And my name is James, and I do things, and I'm ready for some Thanksgiving. I want to eat 5,000 calories. That's my goal. So a few things happened last week. Some games came out. You guys probably heard of them. Mario 3D Land came out. Super Mario 3D Land.
3D World.
Super Mario World.
Wait.
3D World. Super Mario 3D World came out. And then Zelda Link Between Worlds came out. And we'll start talking about Zelda Link Between Worlds. I know Eli and Thomas have played this yet. I haven't got it yet. I wanted to play through Mario first. I may pick up Zelda for Thanksgiving, so I won't have my Wii U with me, but I haven't played it yet, so we'll start with Eli. What do you think of it?
I love it. It's I'm more than halfway through, but I just love it so much. Like, I was a big fan of Link to the Past, and there's just, it's in no way a repeat at all, but there's so many places that you remember. Oh yeah, I remember that from Link to the Past, like 21 years ago. But it's just it's awesome. Like, it's amazing how they're able to keep like a franchise around and just keep it so fresh even after all these different years and stuff. I've really liked it. It's becoming one of my favorites so far.
Thomas?
Yeah, I agree. I started it a little bit later than release day because I was finishing off Oracle of Ages. I was towards the end of that, so I had to get that out of the way. But yeah, I'm probably a quarter of the way through Link Between Worlds now. But yeah, what Eli said, it's amazing. I love it. It's kind of like replaying A Link to the Past on a 3DS with improved graphics, but it's got enough new features about it that it doesn't just feel like a remake. So for somebody whose favorite game is A Link to the Past, which it is for me, it's awesome to go back to the same setting and the same kind of visual style. I love it. It's brilliant. I had to get this as well.
Oh, I'm jealous.
That's awesome. Actually $150 Black Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. That's a good deal.
That's going to be a great deal. I might end up at Target for it. What do you guys think of the new weapon mechanics or item mechanic? Instead of, you know, finding it in the dungeon, you have to go and buy it. Like, how is that working out?
I like it. I actually, what I do is, I bought everything at the beginning. I wasn't really thinking, and I was like, oh, wait, I'm going to lose all these. They warned me tons of times, but I wasn't thinking. So then I die later, and I freak out. I'm like, what? I don't want to have to buy all these again. So real quick, I just turned it off and reload from the last save. So now, when I'm in a dungeon, like whenever it gets to the point where you can like speed up, you know, go back to the beginning, you know, there's a portal or whatever that takes you, I'll go back, leave the dungeon, go save it, and then go back in case I die. So it's kind of cheating, but now I have a few bottles and stuff with milk and fairies in them, so I don't have to worry about dying as much. But yeah, so I have all the items, and I don't want to lose
them. How much does that cost just to buy them all? Or I mean, I guess rent them all straight up.
It depends on some items are more. It's not that bad, and you do later on too. I noticed, like, I mean, I've got thousands of, you know, whatever you call them. So I mean, it's like, yeah, rupees. Like you can get them. It seems like a lot easier than because I know before you could like max out at some of them. I think like 999 or something, but. Looks like you can get 9,999 in this one, so that's nice. So if I did lose them, I could easily buy them back, but I don't feel like it's too much trouble.
Yeah, I found that as well. When I started the game, I was getting rupees so quickly compared to past Zelda games. I was thinking, this is unusual. I've already got, you know, 500, and I've only just started, but yeah. Like Eli said, some games 999 is the max you can get, but this seems to go a lot higher. I think the items cost, I think it's 500 or 400 to actually buy them, to keep them in your inventory. So I think the cost is higher, and in turn the rupees are easier to come by as a result of that.
I know this may be a little bit early, but like, where does it rank so far in your top Zelda games? Has it broke the top five?
I'd say top five. It's probably in my top two handhelds. So yeah, it's definitely up there.
I'll have to think about it, but it's in my top five. My favorites have always been like Link's Awakening and Link to the Past, so I just really enjoy that style, so that's why I love this one so much.
I think it feels so kind of fresh in a way as well, compared to some of the last installments in the series. Kind of in the way Pokemon X and Y, it kind of gave the series that fresh coat of paint that it needed, I think, and Zelda's kind of similar, I'd say, with the way they're trying to make it less linear and change the format a little bit. It's subtle, but it's enough that it's changed it for the better, I think.
Like, I know we talked about this before it was released, but now that after you've played it, do you see it as a continual evolution and change, like this one's going with Zelda, or is it just you think it may stop with the change here with this formula, or are they advancing maybe with the Wii U to do something even more drastically? If that makes sense.
I think I still think there's room for them to evolve it slightly further. Like going back to the original on the NES, I think it could be a little more open, so you can choose where you go from the very start. Because the Link Between Worlds, it gives you, you go to the first dungeon and then you get a choice of two after that. So it's entirely up to you which one you go to, but still you're limited to a choice of two dungeons. So I think they could go all out and just say, you know, explore, find the dungeons yourself. So possibly with the Wii U Zelda, we might see something like that, which I think would be interesting to go back to.
And we mentioned this before, and I don't think you were in the KubaCast, but like a Skyrim type Zelda game, where you kind of just go, do whatever you want, find the dungeons, stumble upon them, defeat them, move on type of thing. Just that open world.
Yeah.
For me, that would be perfect.
Yeah, that would be, I think that would be the ideal Zelda, really, that we could hope to see.
Did you guys enjoy the last DS Zeldas?
I played
Phantom Hourglass.
I played Phantom Hourglass. I didn't really enjoy it that much. I didn't like the controls. It was one thing that kind of bothered me, and I didn't play Spirit Tracks, so.
Yeah, I enjoyed them. They were decent games, but they wouldn't rank in my top, you know, list of my favorites. I think they were good for what they were, for utilizing the touchpads. You know, they kind of had to do that, I suppose, with the DS, but they had their ups and downs, really.
How is the 3DS controlled? Like, how do you control Link or whoever you call him?
Just with the analog stick. I think the touchpad comes into use when you're selecting items. It's kind of a quick, you have a quick menu to just tap which sub item you want to use. So it improves things speed wise in that sense. It controls like a regular Zelda, really.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say about it?
Just I can't recommend it enough. If anyone's considering getting it but haven't decided, I'd just say go for it. Get the 3DS as well because it's beautiful.
Thomas, I don't want to go out on Friday, but I may have to.
Yeah.
It's even gold inside. I mean,
oh, that's
lovely.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Friday scares me. There's a reason why it's called Black Friday. It's scary. But for $150, that's hard to ignore.
Yeah.
Anyways, now we'll move on to Mario. And I'll let J-Money start out because he did the review. So you guys should all know everything about what J-Money thinks about Mario. So I'll let him talk about it again. What'd you think of it?
I grew up playing Mario. Like, I played some of the earliest Marios. And what I liked about this game is there's a ton of stuff in the game. There's items that old school players of Mario recognize. There's a whole bunch of new stuff, new power-ups, new mini games. They changed the world changed the way that Mario can explore the overworld. There's so much old nostalgic Mario stuff in the title, along with new additions and changes. It all came together really well, and there's a ton of stuff to explore and do in the game. It's probably one of the best Marios I've played in recent past. I think one of the last ones that I enjoyed as much as I enjoy the new one is Galaxy. Galaxy was a lot of fun, and I'd probably put the Super Mario 3D World up there with Galaxy and stuff like that. It was really awesome.
I've been thinking how to phrase this for about 3 days now. And I was like, you guys will probably understand what I mean when I say this. I absolutely fell in love with Super Mario 3D World. And it's been a long time since I actually fell in love with the game. There's been a lot of games that I've really liked and enjoyed. I really liked and enjoyed Galaxy. I really liked and enjoyed Mario 64. But the last Mario game I fell in love with is Mario Brothers 3. It's been 20 years or whatever since I've actually fell in love. And like Super Mario 3D World is just a fantastic game all around. I don't want to say it's better, as good as Mario Super Mario Brothers 3. I'm only in World 5 or 6. One of those, but it's up there. And like a lot of people ask all the time, oh, you do Nintendo stuff, oh, why do you like Nintendo so much? There's one simple mechanic in Super Mario 3D World that explains why I like Nintendo. And it happens early on, and J Money probably noticed this, is that you can walk along through land and you jump into water, like a little pond, and you go down to the bottom of the pond, just get submerged in water, and the music gets muffled. Like you're hearing it through the water. Is that something, that simple thing like that Nintendo is good at figuring out or having in their games? A lot of people would just overlook that. Oh, you go in the water, the music's going to stay the same tempo, the same volume. But no, Nintendo's like, oh no, once you dive in the water, Mario's going to be hearing the music muffled. So the music comes out muffled when he's underwater.
Yeah.
I don't know about Water Worlds.
In Zelda, there's a similar kind of feature when you actually merge into the walls, that it does the same kind of thing. You get a distorted version of the music. It sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, see, that's
a nice little effect.
That's awesome, and that's, I won't say that's not a solely Nintendo thing, but Nintendo is more likely to do something like that because that detail is what they're into. And I just, things like that, it's like, it's like J Money said, there's a lot of old things you remember from the retro Mario games. There's a lot of new things, a lot of new power-ups, a lot of old power-ups. And it's just, it's all right. It's a beautiful-looking game. I don't know, it's just, it's awesome.
And didn't they use the gamepad really well? Like, they don't use it too much in the beginning, but, like, when you get into, I don't know, it might have been, like, World 2 or 3 or something like that. They have these levels that just really make a unique use of the gamepad. There was one where to platform through the level, you had to tap on the gamepad to get the platforms to move like in and out of the wall.
Yeah.
So you kind of had to like jump and then tap and then jump and tap, and it was actually pretty unique. Mm-hmm.
Thinking about the game, it's awesome.
I was a little leery about the cat suit too. When they first announced the cat suit, I was like, oh, that's going to be kind of lame. And then I played it at E3 and I was like, okay, it's not too bad. But when you actually get to play the cat suit in the game, it gets takes a little bit of getting used to. But then when you start to climb up walls and explore the different areas, it's actually a lot of fun to play around with.
No, it is. That's actually one of my favorite power-ups of suits is the cat suit. I think it's fun because it gives you a new perspective. Like you can climb up walls. Like some of the green stars you can only get with the cat suit because you don't can reach certain areas with the cat suit. So level may push you to use the fireball power. And so you may be using that most of the level, but then you realize, crap, I can't get up there unless I have a cat suit. And so you have to go back and, like, the typical Mario-type puzzles that they've thrown in there recently, it's still in there. But yet it still has this old-school feel. And it's nice to play with. I've only played with my wife, so 2 players, but it could be fun. It's probably fun with 4 players. It's cool to, because you can collect stamps. Along each level has a special stamp to it. And they can use those stamps from Miiverse. You can stamp little pictures. Like I stamped a picture of like Mario booting a Koopa, and it just, you can even post a Miiverse, and you have Miiverse players wandering around the world, and you can just walk up to them and see what they're saying about the world. Like, oh, this level was hard, or this world, I hate this world. And they do those stamp stuff. It's really cool.
Is this the would you say this is the Mario that has the most power-ups out of any past Mario Because it seems like there's quite a lot in this one.
See, I've only run into four so far. And so I don't know how many there is total, because I try not to find out.
Yeah.
But J Money could allude if there's a lot more or less.
A lot more. I'm trying to think how many I've seen. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Five. Yeah, I've run into five.
I can only think of five. There might be more. The double cherry power-up can get a little crazy at times, too. Because you get, like, a double cherry, and so you got, like, you're running with two Marios, but then you get another one, and you have more Marios, and you're going to end up with, like, five or six of them if none of them die, and so that can get a little crazy at times.
If I had to be nitpicky, that's the only thing I don't like about the game. Like, it was cool at first, but in some levels, you need all of your Marios to survive, and it can get very frustrating and annoying and somewhat slow to pace down a little bit, too, because you got to try to crowd them all together, and it's just...
Yeah. If they get too spread out, to kind of get them all crowded back together, you kind of have to, like, roll the analog stick around and run in circles so they all kind of get closer together. It was kind of irritating at times.
Have either of you played the extra content, like the Toad missions at all?
Yeah, I've played most of them I can. Those are actually really cool. Because Toad can't jump. So you got to just figure out how to dodge or find a way around the level, like switches. And you can either use the gamepad to like shift the gamepad around to shift around the world to see different angles, or use the other thumbstick to move around and see maybe, I won't say a hidden, like I said, a hard to see passageway that you may not see at a certain angle. That's really cool to the break of pace. You're not just Mario running or Mario Luigi whoever running through a level. It's something different, and it's, I don't know, it's hard to explain without playing, but it's fun.
Yeah, because the video I saw where they introduced it, it kind of looked a little bit too slow for me, gameplay-wise. But I'm not sure if it was just they seemed to be taking their time with it on the video. I'm not sure. Like, can Toad actually run in that mode, or does he just
walks? Kind of wanders. Like it's really not that long unless you get stuck and confused of what to do, but if you know what to do or you can figure out quickly, you can be done with it in like a minute or two.
But I think they're kind of deliberately slow paced because they're more kind of like brain teasers rather than like something you're in speed run through.
Yeah.
Because he can't attack, he can't jump, and he doesn't walk very fast. So like you're going to find it.
Well, I think that's another thing they did real well, too, is that they changed the pace throughout the game. Like, you'll go through maybe three levels, and then you might run into, like, what they're calling roadblocks, I think it was, where you would have to, like, face one particular type of enemy. But those were just kind of, like, miniature encounters, and then that would allow you to move on to the rest of the world. And then you go do more levels, then you have like a mini game, and then you go and do something else. And they kind of broke it up real well.
Very good. I'm trying to think how much I'm going to say without giving away too much. I guess isn't it giving away? It starts for a second, but they got rid of they changed the run mechanic a little bit. Doing all of Mario's, like for me, I never removed my finger from, I guess you'd call it his run or his fastest speed button, the A button, whatever it is on the NES. I always hold that down and then just move over and jump. Well, with this Mario, he kind of speeds up slowly. Like he'll start running a little bit faster, and then all of a sudden he hits like his hyper speed. And so like if you let your finger off of that, you kind of start all over. So it's not just like 0 to 60, it's like 0 to 20 to 30, then he hits 60 and it kind of like locks onto that. So you can kind of run out, I guess you can say at a half speed, so you can a little bit slower than normal if you need to slow down, but yet still move faster, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I can imagine that. That probably helps with some of the more precise platforms and stuff. Because with Mario Galaxy, obviously, some of the platforming was really, you had to be really spot on with the control. So I guess that's probably to help things like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a risk. I guess you can say it was a risky change because it's a change from the norm. Because, yeah, like you said, in Galaxy, it's either you're running at full speed or you're slowly walking. Here you can kind of find a middle ground to help you get through some of the levels.
There was one thing I did not like, and that was the off-TV play where you're playing just on the gamepad. I found it really difficult to play on the small screen because it loses the depth that you get when you're looking at it on the big screen TV. I found it really hard to gauge where I was in the level and the depth of the jumps and stuff like that. It just kind of like lost it.
So I want to, anything else you guys want to say about Zelda or Mario?
I think we covered it.
All right. I don't want to play them both.
At the same time. You can play both at the same time. So maybe.
Yeah.
I want to move on to a different topic. I didn't give you guys a rundown, so you don't know about this. I told Thomas a little about this earlier today. So something I'm working on. So this is kind of a rough ideas I've been throwing around, tossing around in my mind. But I mentioned this before. Like, what is the definition of a console that flops? Like, what do you consider a flop? Or it doesn't have to be a console, like anything. What do you consider a flop? So, Eli, like, what would be a flop?
I don't want to start.
Jay Money, what would?
Well, one fine Nintendo example of a flop is a Virtual Boy, obviously. A flop is anything from you can't sell it, like people don't want it, or you're just not promoting it right, so people don't know about it. That would probably be my best example and definition of a flop.
I think I'd define it by how much money it makes for the producer, really, the manufacturer. Because I know we were saying earlier on about the PS2 selling double the units the PS3 sold, but I wouldn't necessarily say that means the PS3 is a flop. I'd say a flop is maybe if they're selling it at a cost where there's no profit, there's no profit margin. So, for example, to begin with, the 3DS you could argue was a flop because they weren't selling it at a profit as a company. Obviously, they've turned that around now, and they are, and it's doing brilliantly. But I wouldn't say it's determined by numbers of units sold. I'd say it's more what it makes for the company in revenue. I'd argue that's what defines how successful it is.
Eli, you thought of the answer yet?
No.
Well, like Thomas mentioned, I found that the PS2 sold about 160 million units. And so the next generation, the next device, the PS3, only sold 80 million. That's a 50% loss between the generations or the devices. And like in the business sense, that's a large drop between products. You lost 50% of your market between products. And I've seen articles of Apple share percentage drops 5%, and everyone freaks out. And I'm like, well, that's 5% compared to 50%. But then like Thomas says, that 80 million had made them money. And same thing with the GameCube. Nintendo didn't really lose a lot of money. Only selling 24, 25. The GameCube really wasn't a flop. I think the point I'm getting to, it's still rough trapping my mind, that even if the Wii, I think the Wii U could at least hit 40 million. If it's 40 million, 50 million, that's a 50% drop. So if between the PS3 and, if you want to go by numbers, the same percentage of drop between the PS2 and PS3. If you don't call the PS3 a flop, per numbers, you can't call the Wii U a flop. If that makes sense.
Well, what if you were to call something like the Wii an anomaly? Like,
the PS2 was the same thing. It sold 180 million almost.
Like, how did the N64 compare to the GameCube? I know it's going way far back, but...
Keep talking, I'll find that.
Because if you call the Wii an anomaly and you're kind of running the same numbers between the N64 and the GameCube, and you expect the Wii to or the Wii U to kind of be around that, really, I wouldn't constitute it really as a flop at all. Because there are a lot of people who bought the Wii who probably wouldn't have even been gaming in the first place.
I think as well we have to. I think we have to look at the kind of the climate in which, in the time frame of when they were sold, because obviously the PS2 sold a lot more, but maybe not as many people were buying consoles for the generation just gone. I don't think you can put it down completely on numbers, because obviously the video game market itself goes up and down. It has its popular points and it has its slumps, so less consoles sold might not necessarily mean it's a fault on the company's behalf. It could just be the current climate of the video game industry.
According to one report, about 33 million 64s were sold, about a 10 million drop between the 64 and GameCube. But then there was a $80 million raise between the GameCube and the Wii. So it's all, like Tom was saying, it's hard to really tell numbers because they fluctuate so much.
Yeah, because that's like a huge difference.
And the PS2, there was that large drop down the PS3, and I don't care about the Xbox and Xbox 360. I don't know anything about those.
They are not included in our study data.
I feel like going back to, I guess, talking about Apple. Eli, do you have like a number of how many units Apple sells a year?
No. Sorry.
You know how many iPhones they sell a year?
I can't remember.
So I'm curious
I can
how much.
Google it.
I'm curious how much they change yearly. Like, is it only a 5% drop? The last time I remember, everyone freaked about.
I know
about
every
Apple,
year they sell more than the year before, but they haven't been dropping.
No, the share, like their profit dropped like 5% or something, or like a year ago or something.
Oh, with their stock price? Well, that doesn't mean anything. That's just because idiots. I don't know.
That's a different subject. I don't know where I'm going with this. I need to be more prepared. Anyways, that's my idea, is like numbers aren't important. Even if the Wii U only sells 25 million units, it's probably going to have a lot of great games. GameCube had a ton of great games. I love a lot of GameCube games.
Yeah. Well,
go ahead. You said, yeah, well.
Okay, well, yeah, I guess you were kind of leading into maybe, but this is my definition.
All right.
If there's no good games that people want, you know, or if, I guess it, like Nintendo's been coming out with some good games, you know, for it. I'd like to see more third party. But I guess if it gets to the point where they're not selling enough that no one's making, even Nintendo's making good games, then of course that would be a flop. But so far, I mean, there's been some good games. I've enjoyed some games on the Wii U, so I'd say it's not quite a flop yet.
Well, I guess
we'll see how long it gets me.
One thing I have to say about the Wii U is that it has far less shovelware on it, as far as I've seen so far, than like the Wii had on it. I know a lot of that had to do with the Wii's popularity, but I find far more really good software on the Wii U rather than the just yeah. games that I buy, play, and I'm like, okay, this is crap, I'm returning it.
Dude, I can only say that for Transformers for the Wii U. That was crap.
Those are movie games for you. Wait, was that a movie game? I don't think it was.
No, it wasn't based on the movie. It was just Transformers. I think it was based on the TV show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it was just a crappy game.
Yeah. At a point, I lost it because I was talking about Transformers. Someone talk while I think.
And I haven't really been much into independently developed games, but I really like the fact that there are so many small developers that are making games for the Wii U, and they all provide these unique and different experiences.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Got it. Came to me. So looking back at the PS4 and Xbox One launches, not talking about numbers, how do you think it compares to the Wii U's launch? I'm looking forward to the next 6 months. Their 6 months or their 4 months compared to the Wii U's first 6 4 months. But no.
Well, I don't really know what's upcoming for the PS4 or the Xbox One.
Exactly. Exactly. That's my point. Is like software lineup, they're not very good. And like all the games are coming down. Like, oh yeah, they're coming down later. Oh yeah, they may be out in second quarter, maybe of 2014. Maybe same boat as the Wii U was in. And it angers me because no one's really complaining about that. So Wii U had a nice launch lineup with Zombie U, had Assassin's mm-hmm. Creed, had Call of Duty, but had a Mario game, it had Nintendo Land, Scribblenauts. Like, it had a decent launch lineup. And the PS4 360 don't. And there isn't anything in the near future. Like, they have Titanfall is coming out sometime later, but who knows when that could be pushed off another year. I think the only people keep forgetting about launches that there's always that lull. They come out with launch games because the developer's either going to rush out their game for launch or take the time on it. But I think Nintendo's mistake was not filling in games from November to March. It's from March to July, whenever Wonderful 101 came out. I think that was their mistake, was not having something there over the summer. Because the PS4 and Xbox One is probably going to have the same thing. You're not going to have anything until March or May or until the summer. And that's just how it works. It's been working for the last few generations. You come out with a whole bunch of launch games, then you have to wait a little bit for something new. You may get some smaller games in between, but the big hitters will come out later. So there's nothing... Sony and Microsoft didn't do anything special with the launch. They didn't blow away the launch lineup. They had problems like everyone else does. It happens. And just Nintendo got more grief about it, probably because they're the first. They were the first, probably because of Nintendo. But it was just, I didn't see anything. They had nice sales numbers, but that's about all they had.
One, this is kind of off topic from the software part of it, but... And I'm not even sure as far as what the failure rates were, but there are both PS4 and Xbox One both came out, and there was a whole bunch of news coming out about issues with the hardware. And I don't think you nearly found that as much with Nintendo's product. There might have been a few issues here and there. They needed to patch some stuff to get it really running real well, but you didn't stick discs in and have them grinding or
yeah.
I just think they did a pretty terrible job with the hardware coming out the door.
That's true. They all made mistakes. Like Nintendo's OS was a little bit slow and buggy. That's why they come out with that giant patch. And same thing with whatever Microsoft's and Sony's OS is called. Dashboard or whatever they do. But I think I heard the failure rate for the PS4 was under 1%. Which, you say it's 1%, 1% of 1 million is, what, 1,000?
So that's not too bad.
1,000? 10,000.
I don't know.
I don't do math.
10,000.
10,000, yeah. So that's that's high. But it's not. Like, 1% failure rate's not bad. I think the one was a little more than that, so maybe it had 20, 30,000. But when you have 20, 30,000 people that have access to Twitter or Facebook and stuff, it seems like a lot more. You're just bad, so.
I think another problem with the Wii U launch was obviously the time of year it came out. We've got the Xbox and the PS4 both releasing during the holiday season, which is when people are going to be getting gifts or maybe even get themselves a Christmas gift. With the Wii U, obviously, it came out, was it March, wasn't it, I think? Was it February or March?
The Wii U, no, it came out in November.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. The 3DS came out in
March. Yeah, it was...
Yeah, that's it, yeah. I think, yeah, things like that also can kind of come into consideration for the strengths of a launch because of the time of year they come out. Because people are obviously going to be holding their software as well for the Christmas period.
Yeah, I do think that was the weirdest thing that Nintendo did with the 3DS was it came out in March.
Yeah.
Like, it's not really a high buying, like, yeah, I'm a spring break, I'll buy a 3DS type of thing, but it's all like holidays. Oh, yeah, I'm going to buy this for my son or whatever, or daughter for the holidays. It's like March. Who's thinking about buying video games? You're in college, you're thinking about graduating, or in high school, thinking about graduating. You're not there thinking about necessarily buying a graduation present, I guess.
Yeah.
Much later. Yeah, that was a little bit weird. So what other games you guys been playing besides Mario and Zelda? I know that may be a mute question.
Well, I've just been playing Zelda and a little bit of Animal Crossing since Zelda came out. A little Battlefield 4 before that. But
how's your town doing?
It's doing good, just slowly getting. I'm just playing a little bit every day, you know, just picking the weeds and stuff. Expanding my house a little more. Still don't have it the biggest it can be.
Damn money.
I was obviously playing Mario, but aside from that, I'm still trying to kind of slowly make my way through Wind Waker.
Is that your first time or second time playing Wind Waker?
That's my first time through Wind Waker.
How is it? How do you enjoy it?
I was kind of late into the Legend of Zelda franchise. Like, I really didn't play any Zelda games until, like, Twilight Princess. And so, I've really enjoyed it. I like the art style. It's different. It's unique. I love the world and the open sea and the sailing and stuff. Just kind of a different... I guess a change in pace for the Zelda series. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, going back to the games I fell in love with, that was the last Nintendo game I think I fell in love with. It was Wind Waker. I love Wind Waker.
it's a pretty good game.
Yeah. Eli, you
I forgot there's another game I was playing all the last week. I don't know, I forgot. But I played through the first Zelda. I played it on my 3DS. So that was fun. I hadn't played that in a long time.
Oh, nice. Thomas?
Yeah, just Zelda. I've been enjoying it so much. I haven't really put it down. I'm kind of still on Pokemon X. I'm kind of taking a little hiatus from it, I guess.
How far are you on that?
I've completed it, but I can tell there's going to be like DLC, or they're going to release stuff in the near future, especially with the PokéBank coming out. So I am going to be going back to that at some point. But yeah, at the moment, just Zelda. That's taken up all my time at the moment. That's how good it is.
I need to get that too. My 3DS always seems to be going to back burner when it comes to when Wii U games come out. I don't know why. Because when I'm at home, I'd rather just be playing on my TV. Like, it's there. I want to play on my TV. That would be, like, I don't know. That's just me. The 3DS is more for if I travel. That's why I may get Link Between Worlds like tomorrow before I go on Thanksgiving, because I have my 3DS with me.
See, I like putting Saved by the Bell on my TV and then playing my DS. That's how I've been doing it. I put it on Netflix, put a Saved by the Bell episode on, play Link Between Worlds.
Go way back.
Yeah. It's reminding me. That's what I used to watch when I played Link to the Past. So it's like...
Wait a minute, all of Saved by the Bell on Netflix?
Yeah, except for the college years.
Yeah, that's all right.
I've got them on VHS somewhere.
What's a VHS? Kidding. Do you have a VHS player or whatever they're called?
I do have one. I don't have it hooked up to my TV, but I've got it down in my storage area somewhere. I think it still works.
Along with a VHS and a Z-Track player.
Yeah.
It's ClinkoVision. It's tube television. On a side note, that reminds me, Kevin has had, before he got married, hope he's not watching this, but she's watching this, he had a 90s nostalgia room in his house. Because when he growing up, he's a kid that had all the cool like action figures, like all the Power Rangers and like the Pokemon cards and all the cool, like, he subscribed to Nintendo Power for like 10 years or whatever, so he had all the Nintendo Powers. Nice. And like, so he had the cool 90s room, and he kept all that and he put it in a room. He had an old tube TV, and he had the 64 hooked up to it, so him like sitting in the corner playing Mario Kart on 64. He had like Power Rangers and all this cool like 90s stuff around it. It was cool.
Just the Spice Girls playing on a loop.
Exactly. That's such a cool room. Anyways, I've been playing, besides Mario, Assassin's Creed Black Flag, which is really good. And Call of Duty, which you're not a Call of Duty fan, don't worry about it. It sucks, kind of. It's not horrible, but it's... No reason to buy when you can buy Zelda or Mario, or if you haven't played Pikmin, just play something else. Yeah. Play Battlefield.
Yes.
All right, well, I guess that's thank you for joining us on this eve of Thanksgiving Eve. And for Thomas.
Yeah, Thanksgiving here. Day ahead.
Future. Just so you guys know, I told Thomas to let us know if we need to invest in anything, or if aliens or zombies are attacking. So we have a day to prepare.
I'll let you all know.
He's gonna send us emails. So guys, about this time, aliens are gonna invade. We'll be prepared. Anyway, thank you for joining us. Everyone have a happy Thanksgiving.